We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
You know, I don't know if Solana knows, but Brady Quinn's music is Nickelback. I didn't make you aware of that, Solana. Did you not know Brady Quinn? He likes to be introduced with some Nickelback.
I did not know that. It's weird because I have a strict no Nickelback policy on the show.
Right. And we thought we were goofing on him when we first started doing it. And then we found out he used to party with Nickelback because, I mean, Brady Quinn's a rock star. And, yeah, he used to party with Nickelback. And he will not allow Nickelback slander, by the way, on the show. So you take that somewhere else, Solana. You take that somewhere else.
Brady ain't no little dude either, Solana.
Yeah,
now,
no.
Don't try him.
Brady will take you down to Chinatown.
I don't know what that means.
Brady Quinn is one of the few people from Notre Dame I actually like. He was a Heisman Trophy finalist in 2006. He was a first-round draft choice by the Cleveland Browns, and now he is a broadcaster all over and a college football analyst all over the world of football. There's not a channel he's not on. I've seen him on Nat Geo doing a college football game.
Narrating a cheetah family.
And he's heavily involved in charitable endeavors as well with his Third and Goal Foundation, and he is with us now. Hello, Brady.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me, Arnold. I got to tell you, this may be my last time calling in if there's not going to be better intro music.
Yeah.
But I think it was Jamie Foxx. Is that what we have? Is that what we're going with now?
Solana, I mean, he wanted his Nickelback. He's calling you out. He's saying he might not ever come on the show again.
I mean, you don't like a little Kanye West, Slow Jams, Jamie Foxx, T-Pain, Brady?
No. This is the after we need a pick-me-up. This is the 2 o'clock hour on the East Coast. People need a pick-me-up right now. Come on now. That's a very, very, green, like young to this whole business move. You got to play something with a little more beat, a little more something to it.
Exactly. Teach him how it is, Brady. And Brady, obviously, because he works for large networks. I mean, he works with, producers that have some experience and cachet. So don't dismiss him. I see the way you're dismissing him back there, Alejandro. Don't dismiss him like that.
I mean, Nickelback, Brady, really? Like Nickelback? Okay.
There you go.
Okay,
wow.
Brady.
There's history there. I don't know if you hung out with Kanye, all right? But when you hang out with Nickelback, you try to support the band.
He didn't hang out with Kanye,
that's
Brady.
Right.
Trust me.
And trust me, the parties with Nickelback and Brady Quinn were better than any party you've ever been to, Solana, even in your head. The greatest party you think you've been to is not as good as a Brady Quinn Nickelback party back in the day. Tell them, Brady Quinn.
There's good parties. A lot of really good hair. Really good hair at this party.
Yeah, I guess you've never been through Kendall, Florida, Brady.
Nobody wants to go there.
He parties at the Dadeland Mall.
I think I drove through there once or twice.
You probably drove real fast.
Let's start with the Hurricanes. Brady Quinn is with us. Now, most of us thought it was going to be like a two-man battle between Tate Martell and Nakosi Perry for the starting QB position. And then it turns out Jaren Williams gets the job. Are you surprised when you heard that yesterday?
I went to practice the other week, and I thought this was going to go one of two ways. Based on what I saw in the one practice that I was there, you really did come away saying Jaren Williams is the most talented passer. And given how young he is, there's that thought that if no one's separating themselves, then go with the younger guy because he's going to have more of an opportunity to build. And I think he does have a lot of the raw tools you look for in a quarterback to be able to, take those next steps. And it may not be this year, but I think this team's good enough they could still get to the ACC championship game even if he's not playing, his best or up to where I think he's going to be capable of a year or two down the road. But he definitely came off as the most natural best pass with a lot of upside. But I really felt like because this team's in a position with their schedule and with that defense, how good it looked, I really felt like Nakosi was going to end up being the guy to start the season. Then if things didn't go well offensively, then maybe they'd go to Jaren Williams. But, just from watching Tate Martell, and I don't really feel for the young man, he struggled that particular day. And I think, obviously, some of the things that have followed him from Ohio State, the issues with him being able to be an accurate passer and him being able to adapt to an offense kind of displayed themselves.
You talk about Tate, Brady. He transferred from Ohio State when Justin Fields transferred from Georgia to go up there. You know, I don't want to say run from the competition, but he saw the writing on the wall, and now he loses that quarterback battle, and he's a backup again. Should he transfer again? The transfer portal's there, Brady. Like, what does Tate Martell do from here moving forward? Just back up Jaren? Like, what should be his next step?
Well, that's the thing, is I don't even know if he's going to be backing up Jaren. You know, he might be third string. And again, I think anytime a quarterback transfers, you got to deal with a new system, adapt to a new culture, start over again. It's incredibly difficult to do, and so he could potentially go that route. I don't know that it would serve him well. If he wants to play, that's probably his best opportunity, unless either Jaren plays bad and Nikosi doesn't play as well, or some both guys get injured, something like that. But again, just looking at the situation, he may have been better off staying at Ohio State, considering he had some built-in equity. And that's one thing that kind of bothers me, just from, again, and I played a lot in college, so I can't relate as much, but Matt Castle was a quarterback who I got close to playing in the NFL, and he didn't play at all in college. And he's had an incredibly successful NFL career, played a long time, he's been to a Pro Bowl. So, I think these young kids now, they're unfortunately always looking for an opportunity, and they're not patient enough to let themselves develop and maybe stick with their first decision with where they decided to go play football. And I don't think it's going to be impact college football as much as people think in future years, but I think some of these kids, when adversity strikes, they look to run. They really just need to look at trying to stay where they're at, continue to build, waiting for that opportunity.
And Brady, you walked straight into Notre Dame starting. Like Jaren, he was here a year but didn't get any playing time last year. What's going to be his biggest challenge? Because they're going to prepare him. Now he has, a week and a half to get ready for the game. We know they're trying to prepare him. But then when he steps on that field against Florida, the only game on, the 24th that night, like, what's his biggest challenge? Because you went through that your freshman year.
Yeah, speed. I mean, it's going to be the speed of the Gator defense. It's going to be the speed of, that particular, game, how fast this game's going to move for him now. And I don't know how you felt playing in, first games of the season, but they were the worst to me. I hated the opening games. You never knew what you were going to get from the defense. I'm sure defensively, Channing, you felt the same from the offense. There was going to be something that you had to prepare for, I hadn't seen, and then you got to just make adjustments on the sidelines and figure it out, right? And so those are the things that I think are going to be toughest for him, is dealing with the speed of that game, the intensity of that, and then also, the adjustments that they're going to have to make throughout the course of the game, because you're always going to get a curveball anytime you're playing your opening game of the season.
Brady Quinn is with us. It's not just an opening game, though. It is national TV, only game on. It's a rival, Florida. I mean, that's a huge stage. Would you remember what your opener was when you were a freshman? Was it a cupcake, or was it like a legit competition?
No, it was a good team. It was Washington State my freshman year. They're actually a top 25 ranked team then, and they were coming to Notre Dame. And I didn't start. I got in later on in the game for a pivotal drive. We actually ended up driving down the field, scoring a touchdown to take the game into overtime. I didn't throw one pass the entire drive. Literally, I go in the game. We have like four successful run plays. We're on like third and short, and so I used the hard count. We had a little quick play action pass and a quick throw to the flat. And so we use a hard count, snap the ball, go back, hit the guy in the flat. They blow the whistle. We got one of their guys to jump offside, so we got the automatic first down. And then the next play, I believe it was Julius Jones at the time, I think ran in for the score that helped put us into overtime and get the win. But I remember this. Everything I had been coached and taught and kind of worked on, the crowd, the 80,000 people there, all that kind of went to the wayside. Now I was able to kind of focus and dial in, even though I was just handing the football off. I did have to make a couple checks, but that's what Jaren's going to have to really basically do, is just revert back to his greatest form of training right now and not buy into the hype. Don't buy into the rivalry game and all that kind of stuff. Like that's all real. It's all there, but that's not part of his job or what he has to do in order for them to win.
And you're talking about the cupcakes, Hawk called it, the warm-up games I called. I think it's incredibly smart to schedule an Arkansas State or a Murray State first, because you get your guys, like you're saying, Brady, that first game is the toughest to get used to the speed, saying used to the emotion and all that stuff. So you schedule a cupcake. UF is known for it, and we're proud of it. Do you have a problem with those cupcake games?
But make it clear that this opener is not against a cupcake.
Don't
say UF is known for it when you know they're opening against Miami. I won't allow that, Brady.
That spread looks pretty big to me last time I checked. So,
oh, knock it off. Need I remind you the last time
quarterback announcement.
Need I remind you the last time Notre Dame stepped up against the University of Miami?
Are you throwing balls today?
Yeah. How's Wisconsin doing, by the way? Are they still running the ball down your guys' throat? Is that last year? How many years in a row, how many bowl games in a row have they done that?
Did Notre Dame do that? You're going to shoot me in my pinky toe.
Della Reese. But the warm-up game, Brady, like a lot of people have a problem with that, or they're critical of that. I have no problem with teams doing that.
Well, the SEC gets away with it, or Florida gets away with it, because the conference is viewed as, you know, one of the best. I wouldn't say it is anymore. I think it's probably second to the Big Ten right now, at least as far as depth and overall teams that are ranked in the top 25. And, you know, the polls would tell you that. But I would rather them schedule it earlier in the year than I would them scheduling it later in the year. You know, I think when you look at sometimes, you know, teams like Alabama or LSU or whoever else you want to throw in the conversation, Auburn, for example, because traditionally I think Alabama and Auburn end up playing a cupcake the week before the Iron Bowl. And it's like I couldn't imagine growing up as a kid from Columbus, Ohio, watching either Ohio State or Michigan have a cupcake game the week before they've got to play each other. Like that to me is wrong. Look, if we want to be honest about how we want to go about picking the top four teams, or even if it expands to eight teams, let's be real. Every single team, if they're in a Power Five and they want to play a non-conference game, they need to play other Power Five opponents. Like, I'm sorry, like you shouldn't be able to have a level, you know, basis of comparison if you're not playing tougher non-conference games. And there's a lot of leagues that only play eight conference games instead of nine. There's some that play nine. And the crazy stat is, you can go back to 2000. You're not going to find a team that's won a national championship that's played more than eight conference games. They haven't. That additional game ends up being wearing. So, you know, because of that, look, I'd love to see more uniformity across all Power Five conferences to schedule legit non-conference opponents that are from other Power Five conferences, and then to have nine conference games. It's only fair that it's more of a level playing field, I think, amongst all the Power Five teams.
Brady Quinn is with us. Let me transition over to the NFL here before we run out of time with you. You watch the Dolphins. You live down here. You saw Josh Rosen Thursday night, preseason game number one. You have any thoughts?
No, just because I think anything we're seeing from him is kind of the beginning. It's almost like he's starting over, like when he was with the Cardinals and he started his first preseason game. You know, I really do think he'll continue to build from where he's at. You know, they're gonna need to take a look at him. You can't give up a second round pick and then keep him on the bench if Ryan Fitzpatrick plays, even if he plays well enough, because you want to see what you have in him before you address next year's draft. There's a lot of quarterbacks who are going to be coming out that people are going to be talking about, whether it's Tua Tagovailoa or Justin Herbert, just to name a couple. There's other guys going to be draft eligible. And, look, to be quite honest with you, you know, there's going to be guys we don't know about that end up popping up, right? No one knew Kyler Murray was going to be the number one overall pick in this past year's draft, or even Baker Mayfield, you know, a couple years ago. People didn't know they were going to be the number one guy. So, you know, there's going to be some guys that we don't know about that we're going to hear about that the Dolphins are going to want to look at. And I think if you're going to spend a first-round pick, if you're going that route, you know, you better know what you have on your roster and Rosen. And you don't just waste a second-round pick for nothing. So, you know, again, I'm not looking for a ton out of these guys in preseason, because if I'm Chad O'Shea, their OC, I'm not showing a whole lot. Like, I've got the advantage of being a guy who comes from New England, so people have an idea of what I'm going to do. But don't make that mistake. I played for an offensive coordinator where, man, we looked all right in preseason, and then we got out there week one, and people are like, you guys are running the same stuff you were running in week two, three, and four in the preseason. Like, what's wrong with you guys? So, honestly, as long as guys are healthy, I could care less what they look like in preseason.
And one of the criticisms of Rosen, actually, Brady, I saw it, you know, in that first game against Atlanta, he seems to be a half a second too slow on his mental decisions. Like, his decision-making process is just a couple, you know, a half a second too slow. How hard is that for him to speed up at this point in his life?
I mean, to me, that wasn't something that I saw last year from him in Arizona, and I think he just had a better grip on the offense. I mean, that's what that's about. You know, when you're unsure of things, you're gonna maybe think a little bit instead of just going out there and playing. And that half second is really what it looks like. So there's a little bit of a delay, or maybe there's an extra hitch in the pocket because he's not quite sure where the guy's going to be. So, we want to see results right away. But, you know, developing the chemistry that you need to at the NFL level, I mean, it takes time. I mean, you're throwing the ball long before these guys are out of the cuts or long before these guys are actually in those windows. And so it's difficult to get, you know, feel good about throwing some of those footballs unless you really have a lot of confidence that receiver is going to be where you think he's going to be. So again, it's just going to be a work in progress, I think, until we start to see him play in some regular season games. And then even then, you know, it's still going to be a work in progress until he really starts to get his feet underneath himself and feel comfortable in the system.
Brady Quinn, quickly before we run out here, Kyler Murray, you mentioned Arizona. We watched Kyler Murray. I hadn't really seen him against standing near NFL players, and we watched him run out of the tunnel, and it looked like, you know, they do like with soccer teams, they have a kid run out with whoever's playing on a national soccer team. Like, it was staggering to me just how little he is. Is he going to make it in the NFL?
I don't know. That's such a good question, and it's a tough one to answer because – I think he's elusive enough to avoid a lot of the big hits, but I mean, eventually someone's going to find a way to get a hit on him, and he's going to have a hard time finding passing lanes. You know, that's going to be an issue. So look, the Arizona Cardinals are going to be one of the most fun teams to watch this year because I have no idea what to expect, and they could get off to a hot start and fizzle out, or they might, it could be a disaster. I mean, honestly, who really knows? I do know this: if he does get hurt, I mean, this entire idea of, you know, hiring Cliff Kingsbury and drafting Kyler Murray to run the specific system, like, all that goes out the window. So it's going to be fascinating to see if he can stay healthy because their entire season is weighing on that.
Brady, the Cowboys offered Dak Prescott $30 million a year. He said he wants $40 million. Is he worth that much money, or is he a product of a system with a great running back and an awesome offensive line?
Well, first off, I'm hearing reports that the actual Dallas Cowboys are the ones that put out there, leaked out there, that he asked for 40, and they're trying to get the media and the fans on the side of the team and saying that Dak and his agent are being greedy. So this is part of the behind-the-scenes stuff that I love in negotiations because it's kind of brilliant on the Cowboys' part. But as far as what his worth is, look, if he's a franchise quarterback, then yeah, he's worth whatever the next guy up is going to make, and people will take contests with that, but the bottom line is, that's just how economics work in the NFL. If you've got a need, right, if you need to go get some gas might be more expensive tomorrow than it is today, but you're still going out there and buying it. I mean, that's how it works for an NFL franchise. So, if, you know, I think he's done enough to make a strong case for why he should be paid, you know, somewhere in the $30 million mark, and it'll be interesting to see how they proceed with it because there's a lot of things that kind of stand in the way of that particular deal getting done.
But, Bray, when you watch him play, you see a top five, because he'll be paid top five. You see a top five quarterback. I see a guy that lives off play action and just eats off the run game and bringing eight in the box.
Well, look, that may be the case. And maybe, look, if Zeke sits out the entire year, maybe we'll have the case to prove to you otherwise. But, you know, the game of football and playing and performance versus the economics of it and how this all works, they're two different things. And so, again, you know, one stat I'll go back on and say, and you can look it up. Go look at how many fourth quarter comebacks, game winning drives he's had in his career. He's had a lot, man. And so those are situations when it's not an 8-man box. It's a 2-minute drive, and he's got to lead his team down the field to win. And he's done that. So there's a lot of things you can look at stat wise and to make a case for him. And there's some times where, you know, look, if we pick between him and Carson Wentz, I'd pick Carson Wentz because I think Carson Wentz has a higher ceiling than Dak does. But all that being said, Dak's been really successful against Carson head-to-head, and, you know, he's been healthier and he's had a ton of wins. So, you know, there's something to be said for that. I think people need to stop getting upset about what that number looks like because as the salary cap goes up, these numbers are going to get astronomical in the ensuing years.
Brady Quinn, Fast Times at Ridgemont High was released today in 1982. I know you weren't born. You seen that movie, and does it hold up?
What do you got in that bag, Mitch? Was that a sixer? What do you got in there, man?
That's not Fast Times at Ridgemont High, is it?
That's not Fast Times?
I don't think so.
I didn't watch it.
I think you're
it.
Thinking of like Clerks or something.
No, that's not Clerks. That's definitely not.
That's not Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Do you
pretty
remember?
Sure.
Yeah, I know that movie line by line.
I was born. I'm pretty sure.
I don't think so. Somebody text in.
It was in Fast Times at Ridgemont
67974. Maybe you're right. You're talking about like the when he's wearing the Vans and he's got the bag of weed.
Bag of what?
No, I think he was referring to like a six-pack of beer at the time, Ark.
Say it again. Give me the line.
I think he said, well, what do you got in that bag, Mitch? Was that a sixer or something like that?
I don't recall that line. There are so many great lines from Fast Times. That is not one of them. I'm going to say that it does not hold up in Brady Quinn's mind because I don't think you
is
can repeat a line from
a young Matthew McConaughey.
No.
What were we talking about?
No. Fast Times at Ridgemont High is Phoebe Cates and Sean Penn, Judge Reinhold.
What movie am I thinking of?
Forrest Whitaker.
You're probably thinking of a good movie, Brady.
Don't you dare blaspheme against Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
I haven't seen Fast Times in a long time. I'm thinking of something else, yet.
Kenny Rogers Roasters. Remember the old restaurant, Kenny Rogers Roasters?
Oh, yeah.
Banger?
That place was, why don't they bring that back?
Right? That place was a banger, right? That place was a banger?
Oh, there were ribs there?
Yeah.
Ribs were so good.
Talk about it.
But Brady,
banger.
We found out yesterday.
Banger, yeah.
We found out yesterday they sold 156 franchises for $1 million. It couldn't be that much of
a
banger.
Yeah, well, they went out of business. I mean, it doesn't mean the food was bad. It was
Channing, you got to try it before you knock it, man.
Right.
I don't know what was wrong with their business plan, but that was some good food.
Yeah, and you know why, Brady?
Is the
wood that makes it good. Dazed and confused. Everyone is texting in. Dazed and confused. That's what you're thinking of.
That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking of.
Not Fast Times. All right, Brady Quinn. Thank you, Brady.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Always enjoy talking with him. I could talk to him for an hour there. Brady Quinn, more Hockman and Crowder when we return.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.